Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name's Narayan. I used to work at the Open Source Lab, which is a project at Oregon State University that hosts quite a few open source projects, including the Apache project, the Linux kernel project, and a large part of Debian and Gentoo. They support a lot of their costs by hiring on students, and I was one of the students that was recruited to be hired on. And I was the Drupal.org admin there for quite a while with another student, Eric Searcy, and that's how I got involved with Drupal itself. And running a lot of the projects there is really how I got involved in performance and scalability, because a lot of those open source organizations don't necessarily have the people to do that, so they counted on the students at the OSL to do it. Drupal in particular got a lot of our attention, and I kept going with that after the OSL and got elected onto the Drupal Association permanent members list and work with Gerhard. I think I have some sort of title like server coordinator or something like that, but I basically interfaced with the OSL still and was hired on by Tag 1 Consulting to continue doing Drupal performance and scalability work there. I work very closely with David Strauss at Four Kitchens and actually about to be brought on as a co-maintainer of Pressflow. And it's basically just gone from a job I used to do as a student to a full-time job and a big part of my life with Drupal and the Drupal Association.
So what was it at the Open Source Lab at Oregon State University that was grabbing your attention? I know that, you know, over the past, you know, 2, 3 years, 4 years, I know Drupal's grown considerably. So maybe just talk about sort of from your perspective, what you were seeing in terms of what was happening with Drupal.org.
Well, the main thing at the OSL is that Drupal was for a long time one of the projects that we did the least with, because almost nothing went wrong with it. It was set up at first on, I think, 4 or 5 servers, and everything just kind of worked. Then growth exploded, and that was the big thing. Like, there are a lot of projects there that have steep growth curves, but nothing like Drupal experienced when the servers started melting down. And they started melting down in a very big way. There was a time where the database server just couldn't stand up for more than an hour. So I came in at about that time, and it wasn't really a decision on my part. It was just like, we need absolutely everyone on this all the time. And at that time, it lined up with, at the Open Source Lab, we lost our full-time employee. So it was run by only students, and myself and another student in particular. So we were kind of working on Drupal.org all the time, which is a really, really good way to get an intro to Drupal when you've never touched it before. And I had done some CMS work before that with various strange and now dead projects. And Drupal hit me pretty instantly as a very different kind of project. I had more wanted to work on programming in a more structured setting, kernel development, Java development in a way, or a Java-oriented type development. And Drupal as a CMS is written very differently from a lot of others, where code quality is a big part of that. And it was very much a draw for me, and it's one of the reasons I kept working on it. Also, the community is one of the most welcoming that I've ever been experienced with. I was also the administrator for Freenode there. So I got two very different experiences and picked one of them. I was pretty instantly drawn into Drupal.
And so what, I guess, when you're looking, you know, from the perspective of looking at the servers, what kind of metrics are you looking at to know, like, what's happening on sort of in terms of how well the servers are performing, and what sort of stats and metrics are you looking at?
So it's pretty easy to figure out what's going on in that we get load pages. So when load goes up to a certain amount on the Drupal servers right now, it's a little high for what we have the margin set for, which is why we're getting new hardware, which hopefully will come soon. But when the load gets to a certain point, there's going to be problems. And we also run a Cacti graphing service that does graphing for MySQL stats, and you can see problems there when the temp table rates get to a certain point or when sorts get to a certain point. We also run CPU stats, so you can see when IO weight has gotten too high. We do run Apache stats. Oddly, the number of hits you're getting doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot, because if the server's handling it well, who cares? Load is really the one we watch. If load gets to a certain point, there's going to be problems. It's the most representative. Unfortunately, right now, and it's one of the reasons why Drupal.org has some issues, is that we run the servers very close to their limit. So when something goes wrong, you see it. It's user visible pretty quickly. We're changing that. We're getting a lot of new servers in this next purchase, and will hopefully bring us down to running at closer to a good percentage of utilization. We're usually around 70-80% utilized right now, which is very dangerous. So I think that was a long way to go there, but load is really what we watch.
And so, you know, when you are talking about like how the, I know with Pressflow, David Strauss was talking about being able to backport some of the features from Drupal 7 to be able to kind of have master-slave set up to be able to have more scalable infrastructure for Drupal 6. A lot of that stuff got into Drupal 7, but they you're sort of creating and maintaining that. So talk a little bit about the server setup that we have on Drupal.org and sort of like how it's all kind of wired up.
So getting involved with Pressflow was actually a pretty natural process, because a lot of the patches in Pressflow started on Drupal.org. So the master-slave patch in particular, we, and I think I actually personally asked David to write when we needed it. The setup for Drupal.org is right now four web nodes, a load balancer, distributing the load among those. Each web node's running a reverse proxy cache called Varnish. And actually one of the new features that we have is we're using Pressflow's backported D7 anonymous users session initialization patch, where it doesn't initialize a session for anonymous users until they need it. So we can then use what's called a vary header, which basically says if someone comes in with a valid cookie, that's going to not be served from the cache. In fact, it actually gets served from its own cache, but in actuality what ends up happening is it doesn't hit the cache. What that allows us to do is correctly use expire headers and actually serve some anonymous pages directly from the reverse proxy cache, never hit Apache. I think on my blog right now, I have a graph of what that did for one of our web nodes. Literally cut the load in half. It has been extremely successful for us. The web nodes are then back-ended by two very large database servers. One's active, one's passive. So the active one gets all the inserts, updates, deletes, and the passive one gets a portion of the selects that we deem safe to go there. We're a little abnormal in that we have a user base that is extremely active and extremely vocal and extremely active in the issue queue. So if someone posts a comment and doesn't then immediately see the comment, we will hear about it. So some sites can get away with sending a lot of selects to the passive server, whereas if we have a couple second delay from the active to the passive, that will be noticed. So we actually do have less selects going to the passive than some would. But that's basically the setup. We also have a mail CVS kind of et cetera server that is currently pretty overloaded and is about to get a much beefier two CPU quad core 36 gig of RAM machine that is going to make the CVS server much, much better. But that's pretty much our setup right now.
So with Tag 1, you kind of sort of freelance in a way with going into different companies and like helping them put out their fires, I suppose, with load issues. And what are some of the tools that you're using to be able to kind of like see what is going on?
One of the things I do at Tag 1 is we run a monitoring service that I built kind of based on what we used to do at the OSL. So there's a guy named Baron Schwartz who wrote a bunch of Cacti MySQL graphs that are amazing. They connect to the MySQL server. They show you stats that you can get directly from the MySQL server, but when you get history involved, you can see the trends and see exactly what's going on. So a lot of what I do is actually directly looking at Cacti and seeing, okay, there's a spike here, there's a spike here, there's a spike here. They're happening on these increments. That looks like cron. Okay, now we go through the cron loop and see what's causing that. Some of the tools I use are the standard Linux tools of VMstat, top, htop, which some people don't know about, which is a nice, pretty top, pretty much. And MySQL SLA, which will look at the MySQL slow log and show you the top queries. Very useful for that. Sometimes all that you really are required to do is take the period of an outage, take the slow log, take only the queries in that period, run it through SLA, see the top query. Usually it's really obvious what's going on. Go into the module and fix it. It just takes actually going in and finding what's going on. AWStats, other tools. So we really do just use these tools that are fairly available. And actually, we're very honest. Like, here are all the things we use, and you should use them too. It's just knowing how to use them together and knowing Drupal enough to go from seeing the problem as a CPU spike and connecting that to, okay, this is probably what's going on. And that's really what people are paying for. I mean, all the tools we use are open source. We have TagOne specifically does not use proprietary tools at all.
And so what type of things are on the horizon in terms of like what's coming for the new Drupal site or anything that you are working on that you're really excited about?
For Drupal.org in particular? Well, actually, what I was really excited about was the reverse proxy caching that was deployed last week, and I was extremely happy about that, and we've been working towards that for a while. What's coming is a lot of the redesign work that's been going on, that's been kind of dragging out, but a lot of it is coming to fruition. Our single sign-on solution is actually coming along. You can go to localize.drupal.org, Gabor's translation project, and sign on with your Drupal username, which is very cool. I think Groups is going to be ported to D6 soon, and there's continuing work on Drupal.org to just improve performance. The big thing that's coming is, of course, we're getting 4 new servers, and the setup of those and configuration of those is probably going to consume most of my time for the next month. But I'm extremely excited about that. I think with those servers especially, we're getting 2 new database servers, so we're going to have a total of 4 database servers. And splitting things out among those, probably using David's materialized views module a little bit more to create tables that can be pushed off to their own database server. And just, you know, using little tricks like that to separate out the load and make sure we're running at much lower utilization so that when something goes wrong, the load spikes, but not to the point where users notice it. That's really been my goal for a while now, and we can actually finally get there where if something goes wrong, no one in Pound Drupal says anything about it. That's really what I'd like.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.